Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the very first Tarlehurst End podcast extra of 2018 in association with The Working and Paper. A very happy new year to you. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show. I'm delighted to be joined, as ever, by The Working and Paper's Tom Crocker. Tom, hi, how are you?
Hi, Ollie. Happy New Year. Very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks. You have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. Cheers.
Fantastic. Unfortunately, Reading didn't have the best Christmas. We spoke 2 weeks ago before the Burton game and suggested that Reading should perhaps be aiming for at least 7 points out of 12 from the games against Burton, Bristol City, Barnsley and Birmingham over the festive period. And they have ended up with just the one after a 2-1 defeat to Burton, a 2-0 defeat to Bristol City, a 1-1 draw with Barnsley, and a 2-0 defeat to Birmingham. It literally couldn't have gone much worse, could it, Tom?
No, it's not been happy holidays at all. Obviously, you might look at the Barnsley game, so they could have taken that one, a late equaliser there. But yeah, the home games have been, I think, particularly disappointing. The home form all season has been quite poor, and those two games against Burton and Birmingham, both teams in the relegation zone when Reading played them, were two games that if you win those, there's a bit more optimism. The Reading are a bit closer to mid-table and not really looking over their shoulders, and they would have looked a bit better. But yeah, the performances and more importantly at the moment, the results just aren't going for Reading. And I think maybe apart from that Bristol City one, we acknowledge that might be a tricky game, but the rest of them, you'd expected a lot more from Reading, and it's not gone well at all, and culminated on Tuesday night with the poor performance against rock bottom Birmingham, who hadn't won away all season. So it's proven to be a real struggle to get results still, and yeah, the pressure's mounting now, I think.
We won't go through each individual game, because I don't want to go back and look at that horror show at Burton 2 weeks ago, but I will pick up on the Birmingham game, obviously, on Tuesday, the most recent one. And certainly from my point of view, I don't actually think the performance was actually that bad. David Stockdale, who obviously earned promotion with Brighton last season, made a couple of very good saves, and we were beaten ultimately by a couple of defensive errors. But I suppose, as you said, it is only the result that counts, and it did make it no wins in six for us. And as you said, at Birmingham's first away win of the season, take them off the bottom of the table.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. That's what I was sort of feeling after the first 10 minutes. I was quite positive of how it was going. They started really well for once. And after that Burton game, like you mentioned, that was just awful from start to finish, really. And the Birmingham game was a complete opposite start to the game, and they looked pretty good. And it just, as soon as one goal went in, you could just tell they seem quite mentally fragile at the moment, and one setback seems to completely knock the confidence, and that just seems to be the case. They made a tactical switch at the break, and they ended the half quite well first half, but then the whole of the second half really didn't. One chance from Kermigant, which went wide, and then 2-0 down, and after that they never even looked like getting back into it until they hit the bar right at the end. But yeah, I think that's the disappointing thing. They didn't really have any. They didn't seem to have much drive to go forward and test the keeper out much, which that's the problem. If you go behind, you want, at least if you lose the game, you want to have felt like you've given it a real good go and peppered the goal a little bit, but they didn't really do that at all. And yeah, it was a better performance than the Burton one, but like we say, the points aren't on the board at the moment. They need to pick up results in these sort of games, and I think you go back to it now. We wondered at the time how big of an impact that Cardiff game might have had, and it seems since then, since they threw away that two-goal lead late on, they haven't really recovered, and it seems like that might have been the point where a lot of the players realised that this wasn't going to be their year, and they're going to be struggling around the wrong end of the table, and it's maybe taken a bit of time for them to fully get into gear with that and get ready for a battle near the bottom of the table.
Yeah, they look completely devoid of all confidence, really. I think as soon as that first goal goes in, as you say, you struggle to see Reading sort of getting back into it. I think apart from the Bolton game this season, they haven't really done much when they've gone behind. And I mentioned confidence there. Does some of that come from Paul McShane? I sort of picked up on his performance on Tuesday. I mean, I don't know if I'm being harsh, but he looks a completely different player. I mean, I think most of them do, but I think he looks a completely different player to the one he was last season. He gave away the free kick for Birmingham's first goal, and overall sort of looked out of place, really.
Yeah, I think he's out of form at the moment. I think you look at it and you've got Thiago Laurie on the bench, who when he's come in hasn't particularly grabbed his chance either. So it's a tricky position. I think the main reason he's keeping with him is at this sort of point in the season when these results are coming, you need experience in the team, and I think that's the main thing that's keeping him in the side at the moment, as opposed to his actual performances. But there's only so long you can keep picking players who aren't playing particularly great. And I think he was one of the guys who struggled on Tuesday night, and he struggled in a few games this season. And we spoke to him before the Birmingham game, I think it was, and he's still very positive about the season. He was at that point anyway, and felt that they could still push up the table. But yeah, I think his place has to be coming under a little bit of threat, especially if a couple of the guys maybe take their chance when they play at the weekend, or when maybe they will get rotated. But it seems Yap's pretty settled on him and Liam Moore as a central defensive partnership. I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with Liam Moore yet, but if those two are still here after January, it's going to take something quite dramatic, I think, to change Yap's mind on that, because otherwise you would have thought he would have done so already.
In the stadium itself, the atmosphere is certainly beginning to turn a little bit toxic. There were boos at full time against Burton and Birmingham, and so we will press on to the main issue that I'm sure people are very keen to talk about and listen to, and that is Yap Stam's job. And I'm sure we could probably sit here for hours discussing whether he should stay or whether he should go. But most importantly, what can you sort of gauge? What are the owners' feelings? Obviously, we've not really heard much from them at all since they've joined the club. I think most of their communication comes through Ron Gourlay. But have you got any inkling on sort of which way they sway about Stam's position?
We haven't had a chance to speak to the owners at all yet either, which is growing, obviously, increasingly frustrating. But like you say, most of it's through Ron Gourlay, and you have to go by what he says. And obviously, he was speaking before the Birmingham game and says that they're backing their manager. I mean, I don't know quite what else he would say at that close to a game, but... I can't see them making the change unless there is a serious threat of relegation, as in they're in the bottom three. Because when Yap came in, obviously he was an inexperienced manager, so I think you have to kind of expect some highs and some lows with that. I think just the highs were so dramatic last season that he set standards so high now that this season looks particularly poor, and the performances are seemingly getting worse, which is obviously the biggest worry for him. But if you look at it from when he took over the club, I don't think they're in a particularly worse off position than when he actually arrived. I think that and they've obviously got this 3-year plan that they mentioned, which I think you have to then say that if you want to give him a bit of time to try and implement that. The only maybe question mark is that it was obviously different owners when Yap came in. So you can't be 100% sure that they're happy with what's going on. But then again, he was offered given a new contract in the summer, which also makes it more expensive if they did want to get rid of him and the rest of his backroom team. And then you'd wonder what would happen with maybe Brian Tevreden as well and the whole sort of structure that he set up at the club. So if they were to get rid, I think it would be a big decision and quite a big overhaul. And whether they want to do that right now or try and see if Yap can just try and muddle through and pull them a little bit clear of the bottom three and reassess it in the summer, possibly might be the way to go. But I don't think it's imminent. As I say that, we might finish this podcast and something's happened, but from what I'm hearing, what they're saying, it doesn't sound like anything is really imminent on that front, and they're going to give him a bit of time. Maybe not too much in terms of backing in this transfer window, just because I don't think they really can in terms of the financial situation. But he needs to get results there. If they keep sliding down the table into the bottom three, then it's going to be inevitable, because that'll be a massive underachievement from where they should be this season. And I don't think anyone's really necessarily expecting another third place finish or anything like that. I think people acknowledge that they may be overachieved a little bit, but I think they do need to push on up the table. Otherwise, it's going to leave Yap in a lot of bother. And like you say, the toxic atmosphere is growing week on week, which is the owners are going to take notice of that, you would have thought eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned there, obviously, the third place finish, and in many ways he has sort of been the master of his own downfall in a way, because he has set expectations so high. And you also touched on transfers there. Do you think there is sort of a case to be made that, obviously, sacking a manager now, obviously, the transfer window is now open. Do you think there is a case to be said that you don't really want to be going into a transfer window without a manager in charge?
I think the point on that is also that if you are going to make a change, then now is the time to do it and give the manager some backing to make some changes. So if they are going to do it, you would imagine it would have to be in the next week or so. Otherwise, what's the point in sacking him in February when you've got the same squad of players? Yeah. Then you may as well just stick with who you've got, unless you need to do a sort of firefighting job with a different manager right at the end of the season, which might have to be the case. But if they were going to make a change, I think it would have to be in the next week or so, just because of the transfer window situation. But, like I say, it's it doesn't look like there's going to be too much activity on that front either. They've got a big squad there. I think they might need to move a couple on in this window more than buying anyone in, which obviously the fans won't be too happy about. But I think that seems to be the noises that are coming out of the club at the moment.
There have been some whispers that Reading actually can't afford to sack Stan because of the FFP restraints, and he obviously signed a new contract in the summer, which has 18 months left on it. And that obviously might have a big payout. Do you think there's any truth in that?
I think the financial fair play is something that the club are very wary of. I'm not entirely sure if getting rid of the manager would come under that sort of guideline, but I think it would obviously cost them more money to sack him now than it would have done had he not signed that contract. Yeah. He's obviously been given a rise, and as have all his backroom staff as well. So if he goes, they'll all obviously go as well. And nearly all of this squad were brought in by Yap as well. So you have to wonder if you get a new manager in who doesn't want to play this style of football, then a lot of those players maybe aren't going to be wanted by that new manager as well. So like I say, it would be a big overhaul and possibly an expensive one. And whether they want to do that now with just a couple of weeks to try and sort it all out, or wait until the summer and try and reassess it then if they can get through till then, I think that would be more likely than making a change now personally. But as I say, if they keep losing, then it's going to be a question that keeps coming up week after week, and the fans are going to stay away, and the ones that do come are going to boo the team off. So that's going to be the big test for the owners, to see if they can hold their resolve over that sort of situation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a little bit surprised, obviously, to wake up on the Wednesday morning and not see that he'd been gone. I think I've made my views on Stan quite clear. I'm certainly in the out camp, just purely because, just because of the results. You can only look at that, no wins in six, and the games against Barnsley, Burton, Birmingham, all sides below us, and really sides that we should be beating. And just really for me, on a purely entertainment point of view, it's just not very entertaining to watch. It's just dire most of the time to watch, but of course, it will certainly be an interesting couple of days. And as I said, I think they were going to sack him, and they would have done so in the aftermath of that Birmingham defeat. And I imagine they probably will give him the rest of the month. We shall see. Speaking of the rest of the month, in terms of transfers now, the window is, of course, open. It is the new year. But as you mentioned there in that discussion, Yapstam has sort of come out and said that there's perhaps not much business to be done in this month, Reading.
No, I mean, it's something we ask Yap about it right through sort of December, building up to the month. And he sounded that when we were asking him at that point, fairly confident that they could do something. He obviously said he had to check with the owners and what have you. But it sounds like now those talks have happened, and he sounded quite downbeat really after the game on Tuesday night, saying that the hands are sort of tied and they can't really do much, and it's going to have to be creative in the transfer market, as he put it, which you'd imagine means cheap deals and loans and maybe moving people on to raise some money, which obviously the fans won't be too happy to hear that sort of thing. So I still think there's plenty of positions in that team that could be improved, but it's quite a large squad as well now, with all the players coming back from injury. You look at it and you've got some players who aren't even making the bench anymore, which therefore you have to wonder if you've got to move people on first, I suppose. And
Yeah,
in terms of money to spend, I don't think there's too much. That doesn't mean they won't bring anyone in. I think Yap would still, he tends to bring in, you'd imagine he'd bring in a couple of new faces. Whether that's maybe loan deals with a view to buy people at the end of the season, that could be one way of getting around the sort of the financial constraints that they might have. But then in terms of loan deals, it's obviously far from ideal, and Yap's usually quite reluctant to do that. And obviously the loans last year didn't really work out either, so I expect that will probably be in his mind as well. But it sounds like that might be the only option, which means that the players that he's got now are going to have to step up and do a job. I think obviously a lot of talk is about Yap, but I think some of the players this season are underperforming as well. That's obviously, like you say, we could talk about hours for whether that's Yap's fault or other problems going on there. But I think the players that they've got now, they're going to have to find a way out of it, maybe with a couple of new faces, but it's not going to be big spending like it was in the summer, I don't think.
Yeah, certainly with the financial restraint, I think this side's probably going to buck up their ideas themselves. And you mentioned loans there, and that's where the majority of the rumours have come from so far. And most of the national media believe that it will be in a left-back spot if Reading aren't doing any business in the transfer market. So far, Manchester United's Cameron Borthwick-Jackson and Southampton's Sam McQueen have both been linked with loan moves, both left-backs. Do you think there's any truth in these rumours?
They're not names that have come up when we've spoken to Yap, but I think left back has been a position that so many people now have been linked with Reading over the last couple of months as coming in. Yeah. It seemed to all be left back, so you have to sort of say there's no smoke without fire, or you could suggest it's maybe the fact that Jordan Ibiti is out and people are just putting two and two together. But I think when you look at the teams Yap's picked, he's clearly not happy with putting Omar Richards in yet. He's flipped Bakuna and Gunter from left to right, so he clearly hasn't settled on an idea there either. He's not particularly happy with Tyler Blackett at left back. So, yeah, it's obviously a spot that he feels he needs to strengthen in, because nobody's really put three performances in a row there, I don't think, all season since Vita's been out. So that's probably the one spot that you look at and they say they are short of players if he isn't happy with those ones, which he doesn't seem to be. So, yeah, the guys you mentioned, obviously they're young players, so they probably would be available for a loan. And I think there's talk about Borthwick Jackson possibly turning into a permanent at the end of the season. That's the sort of rumour that's going around, which I suppose on the face of it makes sense. But yeah, like I said, they're not names that have come up just yet, but I think left back is going to be a position that's going to be talked about a lot. But maybe it's going to be maybe Omar Richards can put a case together at the weekend if he gets a run out.
Yeah, I think, and obviously the striking position is still a very pertinent problem that might need to be solved. I see Jan Kermigan not quite got back into form after his return from injury, and Stan not really fancying John Daddy Bodvarsson. Do you think we could see an addition up front this
Yeah, I think that's still the main point that the team needs another striker, and I think Yap knows that, and they're always looking for someone. If there is any money at all out there, I think that'll be where it goes towards. Obviously Jan's only scored one goal, and Bodvarsson isn't really, like you say, he's not fancied at the moment, so yeah. They're the only two options really. Sam Smith's still injured, and obviously he's still a youngster. He didn't come in and score bags of goals either, so there's a lack of goals up front, and the wingers aren't, Mo Barrett scoring a few, but apart from that the wingers aren't contributing goals either. So I think striker is somewhere they really do need to look at, and if he's not going to give Bodvarsson the run of starts, and Jan isn't scoring the goals, and you need the goals to come from somewhere, so I'm sure they're looking around hard for someone there, and hopefully we can see some movement on that in the next couple of weeks. I think Reading do just need a fresh face up front, really.
As for outgoings, speculation about Liam Moore and a move to the Premier League sort of refuses to go away. And there's also been reports in Romania this week suggesting that Adrian Popper has been transferred by the club. Do you expect either of those two to leave the club or anyone else?
I think Popper probably will leave the club, yeah. I think I had a look the other day. I think he's only started 9 games since he joined the club, which is a year ago. So he's obviously a Romania international, and I think he feels he deserves more opportunities than he's getting, which I think a few fans will agree with as well. But for one reason or another, Yap doesn't fancy him, and he's often not even on the bench anymore. So I don't think there's too much point in keeping him here if he's not going to play, which is also a bit of a shame. I think he's shown decent flashes when he's been given a chance, but I imagine he's on fairly decent money given his pedigree, and I suspect there'll be quite a few people who would be interested in taking him. The chance that it could end up being a loan deal, as it tends to be in January, but yeah, I think he could be one that could definitely move on, possibly a couple of others as well, a couple of more loans out. And obviously, the Liam Moore thing just won't go away, and the more Reading are losing games, the more likely it is he will take this opportunity now to move on. But I don't think there's been any real movement since the last time we spoke, but it's still quite early in the transfer window, so yeah, he's got to hope that he stays, because if he goes, I think it would be a massive issue for Reading. They'd have a bit of money in the bank, but they'd have to find another centre back, because like we mentioned earlier, McShane's already struggling for form, and they've only really got Ilori, who hasn't been brilliant this season either. So yeah, we've just got to hope he stays, but yeah, fingers crossed on that one. I think
one centre back who has moved on is Rob Dickey, who's joined League One side Oxford United on a permanent deal. This one came a little bit out of the blue. I think he was supposed to be fairly highly rated. I mean, I hadn't ever seen him play personally, but he was supposed to be very highly rated at the club. But from the player's perspective, this one certainly makes sense as he gets more game time, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been the case of quite a lot of the young guys recently. And like you say, he was highly rated. I mean, every time we mentioned him, he spoke quite highly of him. I think he was brought back early from a loan deal last year to cover at centre-back. I think that's right. And Yap was talking highly of him then, said he was looking really good in training. And yeah, he hasn't played 45 minutes for the first team a few years ago, but you look at it now and you think if he's not going to get a chance at the moment, then he's probably not going to ever really get a chance. And in terms of his development, he knows he needs to play football at his age now, and at League One he'll get a good opportunity to show that. And yeah, I think it's a good move for him and a good move for Reading, really, if he's not going to get a chance in the first team. But it's always maybe a little bit of a shame when you see these players move on, and a couple of them might end up proving the club wrong. But like you say, he wasn't really involved in the first team picture, so it did come a bit out of the blue, but it's not a huge surprise when you boil it down to that, those sort of facts.
You mean, yeah, there's been some debate, obviously, amongst fans about perhaps giving more opportunities to younger players and to academy players, especially now sort of the current crop of players aren't doing that well on the pitch. Do you think there is a case to be made for that, or do you think it is simply a case of that these academy graduates probably aren't even as good as that?
I think there is a bit of a case for it. If Reading can pull away from the relegation scrap a little bit, then I think it might be a chance to look at some of these guys. I know Yap hasn't been reluctant to put them in. You know, he's given them, some of the guys, plenty of chance in the cup competitions. Obviously, Liam Kelly's come through. He gave Sam Smith a chance as well. So he isn't totally against doing it, I don't think. But yeah, you look at some of the guys who were being talked up. I think we spoke about it in the summer with Fosu and Tanner and the likes of those guys who were in the team, had a few goes in the team, and then Yap just moved them on. He just said they weren't ready for football and they weren't patient enough to stay around. So he's quite ruthless in that aspect, that if they're not happy to try and develop in the under-23s, and he's happy for them to go. So yeah, it's obviously something that Reading have got a brilliant academy and they bring through a lot of great players, and there's always a case to be made that a couple of them could maybe get a bit more of a chance in the first team. But right now, in this situation the club are in, it's hard to say that putting in some teenagers would boost the results necessarily. I don't think it might harm them, if anything, at this, with the atmosphere so toxic like you mentioned earlier, and that some of them might get a chance in the cup game at the weekend, and maybe that'll be a chance for them to push on a bit and put some pressure on the first team guys. But I don't think there's a case to be made for sort of three or four of them just being dropped in the team or anything like that just yet.
Yeah, so I think certainly, obviously, there's a lot of inexperience there, and obviously, certainly in the situation Reading are in at the moment, only 4 points above the relegation zone. So, and as you said, the toxic atmosphere, and that could really damage a player's career so early on. Back to matters on the pitch then, as you say, we do have the FA Cup third round to look forward to this weekend as we visit Stevenage, who currently sit 15th in League Two, having won two and lost three of their last five. But those two wins were pretty comprehensive ones. They beat Cheltenham 4-1 and got a 5-1 win over a different side as well. Their manager is Darren Sahl, who's the youngest manager in the Football League at 34 years old. And looking down their squad list, there's not too many recognisable names. Terence Van Kooten joined them from Reading's academy last summer and has made a decent impact there. And looking at the statistics, sort of, their two key danger-men are Matt Godden and Danny Newton, who have 24 goals between them this season. I can't say I've heard of either of them. And anything can happen in the FA Cup, but touch wood, this should be a win for Reading, shouldn't it? And it could act as a bit of a confidence booster with a sold-out away end as well.
Yeah, I think it should be. I mean, it's Stevenage will no doubt give it a good go in front of the home crowd, but it's a tie that you'd expect Reading to win. I mean, Yap's always mentioned that he'd like a good sort of cup run, and last year they were sort of halted by drawing Arsenal, Man United away in the respective cups. So
yeah.
I think this year, given how the performance is going on the pitch, I mean, we've seen it a couple of times before, of course, when Reading have gone on good cup runs to sort of save the season a little bit when it's been poor in the Championship. So it's a good opportunity to get that up and running. I think Yap is going to make quite a few changes to the team, but this, like we mentioned earlier, is that they've got a big squad now, so it's still going to be a strong side, and all the guys that come in will know that if they play well enough, they've got every chance of getting in the Championship team. So all of them will be pushing for a first team spot, and they're all going to be pretty experienced guys. You'd imagine maybe a couple of the younger guys might get a chance, but it's going to be a strong team and one that you'd expect to win there. And if they don't win there, it's going to just heat the pressure on even more, as I think there's something they could really do without. So yeah, I think they'll come through it fairly comfortably. Obviously, I say Stevenage will no doubt give it a good go and try and get the crowd behind them, but Reading should have the enough quality to come through the tie, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely with or without Stam, I'd love a cup run this season. You mentioned a couple of previous seasons. I think really in 2014-15, the cup run to the semi-finals and against Arsenal sort of perhaps even saved Steve Clarke's job in that season. I think it would certainly bring a bit of cheer to what's been a dismal league season so far. In terms of the team news, have we got any latest injuries?
Nothing in terms of injuries, I think. I mean, I know Dave Edwards was left out on Tuesday night. That was more through fatigue, I think, more than anything else. He just said he was sort of tired from the Christmas period, and then he didn't want to really risk him for another game. So he should be fine, and the rest of the guys are all as it was, really. Sam Smith's still out, and Callum Harriott, the other guys, I don't think are quite ready yet. Obviously, we've had a McCleary and George Evans back in over the Christmas period, so I'd imagine they'll probably both start the weekend and get some more minutes under their belt. And yeah, I think it'll just be probably most of the team that didn't start on Tuesday will probably get a start, but that's still a lot of experienced guys out there, which, like I say, you've got Yokolo will probably play in goal, and Laurie and Blackett probably get a chance at the back, and Omar Richards as well. So all these guys will probably be sitting on the bench at the moment feeling they should be in the team. So it's their chance to show that, and hopefully they take that opportunity, because, like I say, if they don't get in the team now, they're going to be wondering when they ever are going to get in the team. So, yeah, I don't think there's any new injuries. I know he's certainly going to leave out a few players are going to get a bit of a rest after playing sort of four games in a short space of time. So the team will be changed a bit, but it should still be a good enough team to get through.
Yeah, I think certainly if we still rotate, there's still plenty of quality in that side, as you mentioned there, the likes of Thiago Alori getting an opportunity, George Evans getting a start. That'll be definitely more than capable of beating Stevenage, hopefully. But we shall see. In terms of the prediction league, it might not have been a great Christmas for Reading, but in terms of the predictions, Tom, you had a fairly decent period. You got scorelines exactly correct for Bristol City and Barnsley, meaning you are still out in front on the table. Unfortunately, FA Cup games don't count in the prediction league, but just for fun, how do you see Saturday's game at the Lamex?
Yeah, like I said, I think it should be relatively comfortable. I think I'll go for a 2-0 win. I don't think there'll be anything crazy. There's not a huge amount of confidence or goals in this team at the moment, but I think 2-0 to safely get through to hopefully another relatively straightforward tie in the fourth round.
Yeah, I think I'll go for a 1 or 2-0 win myself. I'm just a little bit sceptical just because of the bad run of form we're on, but hopefully we should be able to push through. And as I say, it could be a massive confidence boost. Even if it is just against, obviously it is just against Stevenage in League 2, but just any sort of result and a win. Obviously we haven't won since the Sutherland game at the start of December. So to get that morale boost in victory, I think would be a huge boost going forward. What can we look forward to on the working paper this week?
So we've got plenty of stuff up from Tuesday night reaction-wise still coming up, and then we'll have the Stevenage preview coming up later today as well. So it's on workingpaper.com, and I'll put it up on my Twitter as well, at Tom J. Crocker.
Fantastic stuff. Thanks so much for joining me today, Tom.
Cheers, Ollie. Thank you.
No worries. And, of course, stay tuned to the tilesend.sbnation.com for the Tilesend news as well, and all the socials. Mark and the gang will be all back next week for the main show, and I believe they're going to go more in depth on the recent results. But all that's left to say now is thank you very much for listening to this show, and come on, you Ars!
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tilehurst End
and facebook.com/The Tilehurst End.